Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I did not know anything about a shooting in Aurora at that time. He asked if I was to clarify a statement made by ABC Media. I was awakened by a call from a reporter from ABC on July 20th, about 5:45 in the morning. I did not know anything about a shooting in Aurora at that time. He asked if I was Arlene Holmes and if my son was James Holmes, who lives in Aurora, Colorado. I answered, yes, you have the right person. I was referring to myself. I asked him to tell me why he was calling, and he told me about a shooting in Aurora.
And there you have it. And there you have it. ABC News. At it again. ABC News, at it again. What more do I have to say? What more do I have to say?
Don't let the liberal media tell you how to think and feel. If you have hate in your heart, let it out. Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Welcome to your Monday, end of the day, beginning of the week. It's Reese on the radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com. 2 minutes after the hour on this, the 23rd of July, 2012. ABC News caught in a quagmire again. ABC News, of all places, caught in another quagmire with regards to James Holmes, the Colorado, or Aurora, Colorado shooter, that anybody would think that somebody wouldn't challenge these morons.
Clarify a statement made by ABC Media. I was awakened by a call from a reporter from ABC on July 20th, about 5:45 in the morning. I did not know anything about a shooting in Aurora at that time. He asked if I was Arlene Holmes and if my son was James Holmes, who lives in Aurora, Colorado. I answered, yes, you have the right person. I was referring to myself. I asked him to tell me why he was calling, and he told me about a shooting in Aurora.
And that's pretty much where you have it. So the bottom line is this. The reason why I'm playing this audio is because it was reported by ABC News and other media outlets after ABC News put it out there that Arlene Holmes, the alleged shooter's mother, was called at 5:45 in the morning, and when they got on the phone with her, ABC News says it themselves, when we contacted the mother, she said, quote, you have the right person. Therefore implying that the mother knew that her son had carried out this shooting at 5:45 in the morning, even though most people did not know about it that early in the morning until they turned on their news. Most people were sleeping. This is a midnight showing. It's 5:45, some 5 hours after the shooting took place. The woman's called, woken up out of bed at 5:45 in the morning. He asked her a question, according to her. Hey, are you Arlene Holmes? Do you have a son named James Holmes who lives in... You know, that sounds right. You have the right person. And then proceeds to tell her about that. Now, I want to tell you what ABC says. ABC is now, of course, on the defensive. Why wouldn't they be? And we'll get into the shooter and everything else that happened today, which was, for me, which was a little lackluster, but we'll get into that because I want to talk about his demeanor in the courtroom and this wacky-ass hairdo he's got going on. Anyway, the family of suspected gunman James Holmes said they will support the PhD student accused of entering a movie theater last Friday and not leaving until he had killed 12 people and wounded another 58. Asked that they stand by Holmes, lawyer and family spokesman Lisa Damani, the woman you hear in the audio, said at a press conference today, yes, they do. He's their son. Damani said the family was holding up as well as anyone could under the circumstances. I think everyone can imagine how they're feeling. Anyone who's ever been a parent. Damani would not comment on the family's whereabouts or their relationship with Holmes. The spokeswoman said that the family had spoken to investigators from California, but had not been contacted by police in Colorado. No one from the Aurora Police Department has contacted us or asked us for assistance. The suspect's mother, Arlene Holmes, wanted to clarify a statement made to ABC News in the immediate aftermath of the shooting Friday, which I played. She didn't know anything about it. Now, anyway, the person who told the story, someone by the name of Mosque, and I'll get their full name here, and for some other reason, that's covering up on my... Anyway, said today that he awoke Arlene Holmes and informed her that a man he believed was her son had been arrested in Aurora and asked her to confirm their relationship. You have to tell me what happened. You have to tell me what happened, the woman on the phone said, according to Mosque. Mosque said he told her that ABC News had learned the 24-year-old had been identified by police as a lone suspect in a mass killing in Aurora, Colorado, and that the details of the event were still taking shape. You have the right person was her response, he said. I need to call police. I need to fly to Colorado. Just prior to the press conference, Damani, the spokesperson, contacted ABC News to determine whether or not there's an existing record of the pre-dawn conversation between Mosque and her client. This is according to Mosque. 1 hour after learning there was no audio recording, Damani held the conference and read Arlene Holmes' statement. Holmes, 24, appeared in Arapaho. Now, ABC News is saying that, oh, they don't have a tape of it. But it did indeed happen. Her word against us. So nobody's going to apologize. They came out and said, yes, you have the right person. No one's ever implied that Arlene Holmes, James's mother, knew that this shooting took place. Knew that her son was unstable. But the hell of it doesn't give off that impression when you say, Miss Arlene Holmes or Mrs. Arlene Holmes was contacted at her home after the shooting by ABC News, and her response to us yet was, yes, you have the right person. Therefore implying that she knew he was the shooter. That's what it would sound like to anybody else listening. So what I want to understand here, what I'm trying very desperately to understand, is that why ABC News would do that? I mean, why are you smearing the mother in all of this? Because I don't even get that. Are you trying to say that the mother knew about her son's mental incapacity, instability, whatever it might be? Now, no one can believe ABC News now in their reporting. Forget about what it is that they did in the George Zimmerman case. Forget about that. Because I can go into that all day. We reported about that endlessly here. But to give you a perfect example of the irresponsibility of this network, in a day, one day, this was their reporting. Let's take Brian Ross, the chief investigative reporter at ABC News. We're not talking about the assistant. We're not talking about an intern here. We're not talking about a producer. Chief investigative reporter. Who said this?
Jim Holmes here. You found something that might be significant.
There is a Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado page on the Colorado Tea Party site as well, talking about him joining the Tea Party last year. Now, we don't know if this is the same Jim Holmes, but it's Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado.
Okay, well, we'll keep looking at that. Yep. Brian Ross, thanks very much. Let's get the weather from Sam.
We'll keep looking. We'll keep looking at that, George Stephanopoulos said. We'll keep looking at that. We don't know whether or not he's definitely with the Tea Party, but that's what we found. Now, further research turns out that when other reporters back-checked this story, it turned out that there were 35 James Holmeses in the Aurora, Colorado area. 35. And they sought out to smear the Tea Party. And it was deliberate. There can be no dispute. Here's Brian Ross again, chief investigative reporter.
We don't know much about him. An earlier report that I had was incorrect, that he was connected with the Tea Party. In fact, that's a different Jim Holmes. He is not connected to the Tea Party. And what we do know about him is that he's a 24-year-old white male who went to Colorado for a PhD.
And if you never knew that about James Holmes, if you didn't know if that was the same guy, why report it? If it was unconfirmed, and you hear him in the beginning, why tell this story at all? We're not sure if it's the same one. But we just have to put that out there. Just wanted to let you know.
Jim Holmes here, you found something that might be significant.
There is a Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado page on the Colorado Tea Party site as well, talking about him joining the Tea Party last year. Now, we don't know if this is the same Jim Holmes, but it's Jim Holmes of Aurora, Colorado.
Okay, well, we'll keep looking at that. Yep. Brian Ross, thanks very much. Let's get the weather from Sam.
We don't know if it's the same Jim Holmes. So why report it? You're the chief investigative reporter. Why not confirm? Because why insinuate? Which to me sounds absolutely ridiculous on the part of ABC News. And they know it's ridiculous. They knew they were wrong when they did it. And it was deliberate. Like it or not. And you want to talk about the stretch of this network. The stretch of this network. If you think I'm kidding here. The stretch of this network, something told me, you know what, let's look up Brian Ross. Let's look him up and see what it is that we can find. And it sure enough turns out that Brian Ross has a pretty lengthy history of doing crap like this. Pretty lengthy. He's got controversy up the wazoo in his reporting. Let's see if you can remember some of these famous debacles by Brian Ross. Famous debacles. Now, he's always been known for his quote-unquote scoops. But Ross has been criticized by Glenn Greenwald and others for a series of stories which linked Iraq to the 2001 anthrax attacks in the United States. Anybody remember that? When the big anthrax scare was going around? These reports were based upon anonymous high-level sources that were both denied by the administration and subsequently shown by other reports to be false. It is claimed that Ross unwittingly helped build support for the invasion of Iraq via high-profile erroneous reporting. Dan Frucken asked on August 5th, 2008 in the Washington Post, so who told ABC the powder looked Iraqi? The New York Sun reported that Ross was ordered by a federal judge to reveal his sources. In response, the ABC news spokesman said that the organization was going to protect its sources. There was also the expose on Toyota. Anybody remember when Toyota had its big runaway Toyota campaign? All the cars were mysteriously accelerating. In a broadcast in February 22nd, 2010, entitled Expert, Electronic Design Flaw Linked to Runaway Toyotas, which aired the night before a congressional panel began investigating the issue of unintended acceleration in Toyota vehicles. Ross claimed that the problem was caused by a defect in the electronic system. Toyota pointed out that the expert used by Ross was paid by defense attorneys, and the video footage by Ross showing a tachometer shooting from 1,000 to 6,200 RPM was staged because the vehicle was actually sitting in a parking lot with the transmission firmly in park. Toyota was demanded a public retraction and formal apology by Ross and ABC News. ABC News responded that the staged footage was an editorial error made to replace video captured during the actual drive that was too shaky by the readings of the induced surge, and the induced surge were comparable. And now he's behind this. Now he's behind this false reporting. Now, I'll go into the whole thing about the liberal media wanting to do this, painting the Tea Party as radicals. Gabby Giffords. Remember that far stretch they tried to say that Sarah Palin on her website had targeting scopes on certain regions and Gabby Giffords' area was marked in there with a rifle scope and tried to suggest that the shooter may have seen that scope and wanted to follow up on Sarah Palin's website, trying to associate it with the Tea Party. Now, I'm sure anybody can care to guess, why is this being done? Why try to smear the Tea Party in this in some sort of way? And why would a Tea Party member want to go into a Batman premiere and shoot up a bunch of innocents? When has the Tea Party ever been associated with that kind of radical behavior? Occupy Wall Street, it's never reported that the parents were putting their children out in the front lines during protests, when they were doing sit-ins at federal buildings and state buildings, that they were using their children as shields. Nobody reported that. But Occupy Wall Street did that. Running through the streets throwing Molotov cocktails. Nobody wanted to report that. News media, even though there was evidence of it on tape, everybody catching it on their iPhones, no reporting. Had San Francisco under fire, Oakland under fire, Los Angeles under fire, no news reports. Rapes happening at the Occupy camps in Zuccotti Park and in D.C. and in places around the country, no reporting in mainstream media. Occupy Wall Street's crimes. In one case, if you go to Reese on the Radio and you look it up, one girl claimed to have been raped at an Occupy Wall Street camp or an Occupy camp, and the news reporters went to the girl's house to question her on whether or not she was telling the truth. Did literally ran offense to protect the Occupy movement by questioning the alleged victim in this case. Would they have ever done that under any other case, any other rape case? Has it ever been heard of a news reporter going to the victim's home and showing it on camera? Where's the rape shield law there? But when it's to protect the movement that the liberal media ardently supports, you demonize anybody who tries to discredit it with ill behavior. But a website search, a Google search of a name like James Holmes, which is probably just as common as a Jim Brown, or a John Doe, for crying out loud, you go on the air, unconfirmed, he could be a member of the Tea Party, or maybe not. We're not really sure. I don't understand how a chief investigative reporter goes on the air and reports something he cannot substantiate. And they went into a break. They broke into the story with new information that turned out to be false, which baffles the hell out of me. I just wanted to make sure that I got that on the record. Stick around. We'll take a break. I'll be back. We'll talk about his appearance in court. James Holmes, that is. And I'm going to prove to you that this man is not a psychopath. Despite what anyone else is saying about his demeanor in that courtroom. He's not crazy, folks. He's not crazy. And when I tell you what it is, you'll hear. You'll get it. Follow me now. I'm almost there. Priest on the Radio. Stick around. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
He said, I am the Joker. But once again, he was still walking into a movie theater that was showing the Batman.
So you're saying that this guy would have done what he has done, even if, like, Steel Magnolia was playing in the theater?
He just said, I'm the Steel Magnolia.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I don't recognize your name, you're right, nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's it.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Because he's dressed like a chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyists.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, but the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff. Appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
That's right, that's where he sits, in jail, James Holmes, locked up, no bond, in solitary confinement. There were reports over the weekend that he was calling himself the Joker, spitting on corrections officers, wilding out. There were some people who were threatening him in jail. I guess he was dealing with some difficulty in there. Said he was refusing to cooperate, which, you know, I don't blame him. Right to remain silent, keep your goddamn mouth shut. You're locked up. You're in jail. You killed 12 people. Shot 58. Six-year-old girl was in that. Keep your mouth shut. You're going to fry, Negro. You will fry. You know, we could use that whole alleged shooter if we want to, but you will fry. Because Colorado is a death penalty state. And you must fry. I mean, it's that simple. If they don't fry you, what are they going to do? They gas you? They do shooting ranges in Colorado? Colorado sounds like a shooting range kind of place. I know Texas is. I know Texas is a shooting range kind of thing. One of the things I find alarming about the shooting range thing, I understand that they tell the five guys or so that in the shooting range that one of their bullets is a blank. You may have the blank, so the guy doesn't feel like he's responsible for actually doing the shooting or something like that. But I hear one guy gets a blank. It's what I hear. I don't know if there's any truth behind it. But nonetheless, I don't know. We'll find out. JC, let's find out what they do in Colorado. If that's the gas chamber, lethal injection. You know, look, we know for a fact, if he sees a death penalty, he won't die until sometime around, I don't know. I was going to say, it ain't going to be as fast as Timothy McVeigh. Because what, Timothy McVeigh was 1993? He was executed in 2002? Something like that? 2002, 2003? So, I mean, he was out of it fairly quickly. Colorado, I don't know what it is that they do. Oklahoma City, they weren't kidding. They weren't kidding. That guy's got to go, and he's got to go now. They did about 10 years of feeding him and clothing him and housing him for 10 years. That was it. That was all they could stand. You're going to kill all those people and babies and stick around for another 20 years. Just wasn't going to happen. Now, I don't know whether or not there's going to be all this compassion for James Holmes. And I'm going to tell you why I bring that up. Because I teased it earlier. And we'll take the guys and, you know, they'll call in and we'll talk about this. But trust me what I'm saying here. Trust me what I'm saying. If you saw his demeanor in that courtroom, James Holmes, and you saw the little, you know, eyes going down and a bug-eyed look and the stoic and zombie-looking stares, James Holmes was tired. He was tired. He didn't get any sleep the night before. I don't think James Holmes has had any sleep all weekend. Because if there's one thing I know about all of this, is that in Arapahoe, and this whole community, where these cops were, and this shooting took place, if there's one thing that I know, is that the harassment was serious. And I'm sure it was coming from the police, as well as the inmates who were there. People were calling him a baby killer, a child murderer. And he didn't want to doze off for 1 minute because he was scared to death that somebody was going to pop in there and take him out themselves. So he's been sleeping with one eye open for the past 2 days, 2-3 days. One eye open. He goes in there at 9:30, and you know they remove you out of your cell. Well, maybe you don't know that. They remove you out of your cell early in the morning, some 5 o'clock. He's got to stand in the cell by himself, but he can't go to sleep because people are walking past him, and they want him dead. People want to say, forget about putting him through due process. Let's kill this son of a bitch now. So all that talk about how he looked all crazy looking and he might be going for an insanity plea. No. The only thing he showed in there was tired, was fatigue. He was beaten mentally and possibly physically as far as, you know, wearing down on his body. But they were looking at him like, man, if you turn your back for a minute, go ahead and go take a shower there, Holmesy. Yeah, we got it. Don't worry about it. Go in there and go take a shower. Somebody unlocks the door. Some guys got triple life. Probably get some extra commissary just for handling his business. Cop will probably put some money in the dude's commissary for some stuff like that. Hey, you know what? Bubba, you want some extra meatloaf on Saturday? How about some more rec room time? I'll get you more books. You can have hardcover books there, Bubba. You see who we got over here? We got the Joker. We got the Joker. You know, it's looking good to a couple of people out there, I'm sure. It's looking good to us, too. Now, JC, did you see this guy? Justin, did you see this guy? By the way, number 347-308-8701. Justin, did you see the video of this guy in the courtroom?
Yeah, I saw him.
Now, tell me, he didn't look crazy. He looked tired.
Well, he looked like, yeah, he looked tired, but he still, I don't know, he didn't look crazy.
He only looked crazy because he was sitting in there in that horrible die jump.
Right.
That's the only thing that gave him any credibility, that he's got no taste. And he's a little weird with the orange hair. Boy, has six sideburns.
Well, you know what I have a problem with?
What do you have a problem?
I got a problem with them calling him mentally ill.
Look,
I don't think he's mentally ill.
There's been no proof that he's mentally ill. Look, that summation, that idea that he's mentally ill, without any proof of it, they've got no timeline. They got nothing that connects him to mental illness. This guy was a PhD candidate, which isn't a great thing. It's not a real big deal. I know some PhD people who are complete morons. Okay, complete idiots. All right, so as far as I'm concerned, they're just elitists, but a complete morons, have no fair reasoning. But this guy,
yeah, exactly. I mean,
dropped out of school. What's that?
I was gonna say you got people that go on killing sprees and crap that are mentally ill. They don't booby trap their apartment. They don't have the forethought to think so. You know what I mean?
Look, if indeed
booby trapped his apartment.
Even if indeed he was deranged or even just diabolical, you know, I don't know what set him off or what could have set him off. Nobody's going to know. At least we knew with Timothy McVeigh that he was angered about Waco, Texas, because as many people may remember, Waco, Texas happened the same day Waco, Texas happened was the same day of the Oklahoma City bombing. He did it on the anniversary of the Waco bombing, the Waco scene. And he was one of these people tried to associate him with Christianity. People tried to call him a radical rightist. You know, that he was, you know, people even tried to, and even the President of the United States tried to suggest that Rush Limbaugh's radio show was partly responsible for this. That this right-wing extremist language on the radio was a part of what caused Timothy McVeigh to do what he did with the bombing of the Oklahoma City building, federal building.
The Muro Federal Building.
The Muro Federal Building. So here now you hear this same sort of rhetoric when trying to associate him or link him. That's the only thing that people seem to care about. Everybody knows that this guy bought these guns, got out there and shot these people, went there with the intent to kill, and definitely was intending to kill anybody who got to his apartment. But now the only thing that most people are concerned with is, why did he do it? Why did he do it? What made it? I don't care. I mean, do you care? Does anybody really care why he did it?
No.
Other than for voyeuristic reasons.
But you know what? Earlier you were talking about Colorado and their death penalty laws. Well, you know, back in 1972, when it was declared unconstitutional across the board in the United States, Colorado fought for its right to kill its inmates.
Okay, so
they won it back in 1976.
Now, hold on, I didn't get the year. What year did they get it back?
76.
66? In 76. Okay, yeah, like, but what, okay, so what is their practice? What is their practice? What, they hang them lethal injection during range?
That would be nice, but no, they do lethal injection, but that's painful.
Lethal injection, you think? How could it be painful? I understand that they sedate you, they put you to sleep, and then they just kill you. I mean, they don't lethally inject you while you're alive. They sedate you, they kind of put you in a coma, in a medically induced coma, and then they just kill you. I mean,
well,
you know, it's kind of quirky.
But I'm checking up on it now. But to my understanding, I thought that it stopped your heart, it stopped your, like, vital organs one at a time. And that would have to be painful.
Well, I'm sure it is, but nobody will care after it's done.
Yeah.
Only reason why I care, or why I even bring up this whole thing about, one, what they do in the death penalty, is absolutely, that is going to be a factor. Here's why. Because if it was a firing range, I know that there were going to be some people out there going to say, oh, man, what are you going to do? We're going to shoot him after this guy shoots all of these people? Then they would say that was unethical. But most people who agree with me, because I'll even put out a poll. I think I'm going to put out a poll on Facebook and ask, you know, what would be the most just way to kill him? If he gets the death penalty, what would be the most just way? And I'm going to include hanging, fire range, electrocution. Because for me, I think it should be, if we should really, really inject the Bible here, I would inject the Bible, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You shot all these people, firing range seems appropriate. I mean, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that just sounds like the way to go. The number is 347-308-8701. Who do you have, Jeff on the line? Who's on the line with us? Hello? Yes, the person I just put on?
Who?
Hello, sir?
I said Justin.
Okay, I got Justin. I was hoping that. Is there another person on the line? Okay, maybe not. I thought somebody had a question. Other than this, probably just listening. Anyway, so I would say in this particular case, it's got to be a firing range. But I know how people are going to react to this. They're going to say, no, we can't beget violence with more, you know, violence only begets violence, that whole thing. So they would want to do it humanely. Because everyone's going to say, oh, he deserves some sort of leniency in that regard, which I think is a joke. It's a complete joke. They're going to want to do this in a very, very calm and justified manner. But it's not like anyone's going to see that. Because, see, here's where I know people are going to have a problem with a firing range. Okay? Because there are family members and victims who will be allowed to see him executed. They will have the option to be there to watch him die. And the question is whether or not they would go in there and be uncomfortable with watching another shooting. You see? That's where the issue is. Am I comfortable after my loved one, my girlfriend, my six-year-old daughter is shot and killed? Am I cool with watching another person get shot? Now, I'm sorry. I'm going to go a little Neanderthal. I'm going to go a little real, real Neanderthal here. You got to say that deep down in your heart, folks, that if you saw one of your family members get shot, and this son of a bitch was running back and forth through the aisles just firing at random, isn't there a part of you, a vengeance in you, that's just innate? Isn't there a part inside you that just makes you want to go, yeah, I want to see that son of a bitch get a bullet in him. I'd like to see him feel the same pain my daughter felt. I want to see these mother fathers shoot him. I want to see that bullet go through his goddamn body. Isn't that a part? Isn't there something in you like that? And I know people will preach that, but you have to have some form of forgiveness and compassion and being able to move on and forgive. He know not what he do. God will be his judge. Yeah, okay. Okay. And the people are going to scream this the most.
You know what I say to those people?
What do you say?
Kiss my ass.
I'm with you, buddy.
Fire.
But you hear what I'm saying. JC, I'm right here. You know, look, Justin, you're young. You're 16. But I ask you, don't you kind of understand that people feel that in their heart of hearts, that if something like this horrific and they were in the middle of that violence, of that carnage, that there was an innate feeling in them that just kind of wished that, you know, mommy's gone. Daddy's gone. My baby sister's gone. This mother father's got to pay. And I want the ultimate vengeance.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. Unless you're just one of those people who just have to find compassion in everything. But you're going to want your justice. And the justice in our laws saying eye for an eye. I'm sorry. I don't want shot and kill people in cold. You think retribution is giving him a nap?
You know what I like to see?
What's that, JC?
I like to see them in this country drop people in big, huge pots of oil and oil.
Move off your microphone a little bit, because you're muffling. There you go.
I'd like to see them drop people in big vats of oil and oil.
you want them to burn to death, for crying out
loud. Yeah, I want them like a deep-fried Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, you want them to feel the pain and suffering of all of those people. You know, it's got to be, you know, I mean, most people would say a sweet death would suffice here. A slow death make his last days feel horrible. You know, don't give this guy a laugh deal and all that other stuff. There should be no coddling. You know, and I agree with that. I mean, I sort of feel that way. Because I know there are people out there who feel that way. I know that there are family members and victims in this who are feeling the same way. They're saying to themselves, I want this guy to suffer what he did. I mean, he's got to feel the pain and the carnage that we will feel for the rest of our lives. Even if you give him a couple of seconds of it. I mean, he'll never feel the pain that we will feel for years, for 20, 30 years. He'll never feel that pain because he'll be dead. Give him a portion of that. Him being shot by a firing age, or as JC suggested, boiling him in a vat of boiling oil, is only seconds of what it is. I mean, I can't even say a fraction. It's minuscule of what it is that these people have to suffer. All right, I'm going to try to get this person back on the line. 443 area code. Y'all were reached on the radio. Who's this? Cindy? Okay, maybe she's not there. How about Jeff? Is this Jeff? Okay, they're not. They're just listening. Just let them listen. Anyway. What's that?
I hear you calling. Are you calling like Cindy or Jeff? And I can now see the 443 number there, but I don't see it until you actually liven up their mic.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
It's like I wasn't seeing it until you liven up the mic.
Hmm.
I'm like, who the hell is he talking to?
Oh, I don't know. I was trying to get somebody on the line, but I guess they're not there. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back real quick. We got to get to Joe Paterno, NCAA. Whew. A tough sanction placed on the NCAA. And we'll break it all down when we get back in your opinion. I called it.
Tonight is going to be a jailbreak. Somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it. So we're getting up and going down. High and low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best. So move away, do you hear what I say?
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't have a response to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
there's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
One last note I want to say about this Colorado shooting. Now, as I just said to you, there are going to be people out there who are forgiving, quick to forgive. According to a, I guess, a radio show in Tampa, the story reads, within just a few short hours of surgery on his foot on Monday, Aurora, Colorado shooting victim Pierce O'Farrell tells nationally syndicated radio host Todd Schnitt that he wants to talk to the shooter, James Holmes. In an exclusive interview, the exclusive Schnitt show interview, O'Farrell, who was shot three times, recalls the horror in vivid detail and says he would like to talk to him. I do forgive him. As for the possibility of the death penalty in the case, O'Farrell says, I don't think he should have the death penalty. Life in prison would be a more suitable sentence. Mm-hmm. O'Farrell, who was wounded by each of Holmes' three weapons, God, he got shot by all three, also tells Schnitt that despite this tragedy, he is still a staunch proponent of the Second Amendment. This gets crazier. O'Farrell was one of the 58 victims who survived the shooting, and he appreciates the visit he got yesterday in the hospital from President Barack Obama. Yes, Obama went there.
Where was Obama when them three people got killed yesterday in Chicago?
Well, you know he's not going there. Staying clear.
Did he ever go visit one of those little girls that got shot in a drive-by?
He did not go.
Did he ever go visit one of those little boys or one of their parents? Did he go and speak at those? I mean, what the hell? Whatever.
What are you going to say? I mean, this is, it's sad, but it's true. I told you there are people out there who are just, I mean, I don't know. You could be compassionate as you want to be, but, you know, I know that there are some people out there. I don't know whether or not we're going to find them or we're ever going to hear from them in the news. But there are going to be some people out there who are going to start talking about, you know, how this guy's got to be punished. All that insanity thing. See, that's the thing. People out there, they want this insanity plea to be real. Because they don't want him to be, they need him to be crazy. People need him to be crazy.
Because they don't want him to be evil.
No, right. But if they call him crazy, they can write him off and keep it moving. Oh, he was crazy. That's why he did it. And it's done. Then there's no more conversation. He was crazy. You guys caught a bad one. Bye-bye. Writing him off as being crazy. Everybody wants to know what happened to him. He was a promising student. What happened? What happened? Everybody just wants to explain it away. I don't care whether or not he's crazy. That crazy thing only lasts with me for about 5 minutes. It's cute for 5 minutes. Oh, look at him. He's so stupid. And then I'm done. After that, you
did
get...
Did you see him in court?
Yeah, he was tired.
He looked insane.
No, he was tired.
He was like this.
He was tired. He was
his
tired.
Eyes were bulging
you
out of his head.
You should have been here for the opening monologue. He was tired. Tell me. He was tired. He's been up all night. Guys been threatening his life.
Probably in solitary confinement.
He is in solitary, but that doesn't mean that the cops don't want to kill him. Trust me. Don't worry about it. All that when we return to 3-7 Radio.
How may I help you, my brother?
The First Amendment is not absolute. No amendment is absolute. Can't scream fire falsely in a crowded theater. We have libel laws. We have anti-pornography laws. All of those are limits on the First Amendment. Well, what could be more important than the wellspring of our democracy and certain limits on First Amendments that, if left unfettered, destroy the equality in our democracy, of course would be allowed by the Constitution. And the new theorists on the Supreme Court who don't believe that, I'm not sure where their motivation comes from, but they're just so wrong. They're just so wrong.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back. We haven't done sports news in a while. And any time we have lately, because it's no football, damn it. That's just what it is. It's no football.
It's coming up.
I know, I can't wait. But it's because there's no football. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no real sports unless football's on. You know, it's the lighter part of the baseball season. That's when I get into it. Basketball season has begun. I don't really like it when it gets halfway through somewhere, you know.
Basketball season was just over.
Yeah, I know that. But basketball season in the beginning, it starts in October and it lasts until next year. But you know what I'm saying? Basketball season just starts in October near the beginning of football season.
Oh, okay.
So you know what I'm saying? It's a big, you know, it's
look,
kind of
look
sports.
At him. Look at him.
Anyway, whatever. Mary's looking at the footage of the Colorado shooter and trying to suggest that he looks crazy. He's tired. He's trying to keep his eyes open. Everybody wants him dead.
No, anyway, he's crazy.
Let me just get to my point. Anyway, so here's the deal. Today, the football world, or at least the collegiate levels of the football world, got hit hard today. They got pimp slapped like you wouldn't believe today. And you've seen the story. All weekend, it was like everything was just falling apart over the weekend. First, the statue comes down. And that just looked painful. And I'm sure it hurt the paternal family a lot because now their name is mud, which is really, really bad. Their name is really mud now. They've got no credibility. They've got no real legacy in that town. I mean, if I were them, I'd just move. You know, he was a storied name, but now it's just marred in this controversy. And so they can never, ever relive that unless somebody in that family, saves a plane from crashing. You know, I'm sorry to put it that way. But in order to build that name back up, they're going to have to do something pretty hefty. So I know this is going to be a mess. But the conversation that's been had today, that's been huge today, is the conversation about whether or not the sanctions against Penn State were harsh, whether or not they were cruel, whether or not they were necessary.
Well, let's talk about whether or not they were sanctions against Penn State or were they sanctions against the students at Penn State.
Well, that's the way you look at this?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the students at Penn State did nothing.
Mm.
They did nothing wrong, as far as we know. There's there's no reason for them. They, you know, you don't play for 4 years.
You can play. You can play in regular season games, but it doesn't matter what your record is. You have no eligibility to play in a Big Ten game or the postseason play, which is a bowl game.
But that's totally wrong. Those students did nothing.
But
the people that run Penn State should all be fired, and they should just replace every staff member. It's the staff's problem. Why would you punish the students?
Because it's the everything that was done here on a huge level is, one, that football program was being punished for putting football above everything. That's what I believe that was about.
Yeah, but who did that?
Well, you know, an interesting comment was made today by Tony Kornheiser on Pardon the Interruption, who made the argument that what really went on today was not just a slap at Joe Paterno, but the NCAA is responsible for making football or the football program the deity that it is. I mean, they make money off of this. So, you know, the NCAA exists because it's for sports.
Now wait a minute. So, the NCAA makes money off of this, and
yeah,
everybody else involved. So, are they going to give back all the money that they're taking back all of the wins that Joe Paterno had?
Right.
Or that his team had.
All of his team had, which was 111, 112, I believe, which is six.
Is everybody giving back the money that they got because of those wins?
Well, they have to pay a fine of $60 million.
No. Is the NCAA the NCAA?
Oh, you mean the money that they made off of those games?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. That's a very, very fair question, because now you're saying that the wins didn't count.
So you don't get that money. You got to return it.
You're saying all the money that was... Well, that's right. Penn State did right. Penn State was a part of that revenue game.
And the NCAA was a part of that revenue game.
They benefited from it.
So
that's a very fair
all
question.
Of those people, you're punishing the students now. At this point, you're punishing the current students and the previous students.
Right, because their records are gone now.
So are you going to give back these people that are putting these sanctions? Are you going to give back the bonuses or the pay raises or whatever that you got because Penn State was doing so well?
So you're saying the NCAA, in essence, was not responsible for what took place on that campus.
Neither were the students.
But the, okay.
No, there
okay.
is no, you can't. Neither were the students.
Yeah, but see, okay, I understand where you're coming from. You're saying that the students who are there now should not pay for the transgressions of Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno.
Nor should the students were there under Jerry Sandusky and what's his name and Joe Paterno. Those students shouldn't have to pay for those mistakes of those two morons either.
Right, because a very valid question was also brought up today that said, how did Jerry Sandusky's actions contribute to the wins of Penn State?
It didn't.
Exactly. So it's not like punishing their wins is because Jerry Sandusky's actions were
people that should have been punished were people that were responsible for the actions by Jerry Sandusky and for the people that were responsible for not reporting
it
covering it up. Those students should not you shouldn't take all those wins away. You can take them away from the coach. You can take them away from him, but you can't take those wins away from the students.
But see, that's the point of all this, is that vacating those victories, 111 in all, dropping him down from this whole winningest coach thing, dropping him down to number 12, right? They're going to have to give back all the trophies, all the awards, right? This, in essence, was nothing more than completely removing the Paterno legacy. It's removing it. Saying NCAA doesn't want any parts of that or have any memory
of
that.
But the NCAA, you know, I guarantee you that people at the NCAA knew about it too.
No, I don't believe so. The NCAA couldn't know about it.
And what about all the head honchos at...
Well, all those people are gone, and okay. Joe Paterno is dead. But remember, nobody can punish Joe Paterno now. He was facing an indictment after this Free report. He was going to face an indictment. Had he lived for the Free report and he were alive today, he would have had to be indicted for perjury and everything. And especially after the Washington Post, they did this interview with Joe Paterno before he died.
Yeah, I saw it.
And the next report that they did, the writer of that report said, based upon the Free report, Joe Paterno flat out lied.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So the NCAA is trying to remove itself in any connection to Joe Paterno and Joe Paterno's connection to the NCAA.
Okay, again, and I understand that, I agree with that. But you cannot punish the freaking students. The students did nothing. They're not responsible for that. You can't do that. You can't punish previous students, and you can't punish the current students. It just doesn't even make
sense. Okay, but how about this?
I had a question.
Let me pose this question. I'll give you yours.
Okay.
I'll pose this question. All things considered, that those kids are now sort of taking a hit for Joe Paterno,
yes.
Right? Do you believe that doing this will send a message to other schools that they need to stop holding these people like Joe Paterno's and Jerry Sandusky's as some sort of deity, as some sort of god on the campus, and maybe they'll hold these people more responsible?
No.
Okay. What was
because because they did that off of greed. That was pure. That had
who's,
to
greed
have,
on whose part are you talking about?
On greed on the school's part, greed on
right, absolutely
on Joe Paterno's part. Because even if Joe Paterno did supposedly tell somebody and they covered it up, and he knew they were covering it up, then it was still his responsibility to report it to the authorities, and he didn't.
Yeah, but you know what? They are telling you, I think in this whole sanction, I think they're saying, you know what? If this guy was the one that everybody was following his lead, if he was the one that set this culture where I said in my July 12th monologue, I said if he created an atmosphere where people could not come forward because they were fearful of their job, that he created an atmosphere where people couldn't tell the truth and come forward because they were in fear of their life, that he could not be held in this high regard. He created an atmosphere that caused people to keep quiet about something this heinous happening to these kids. And that's what I'm saying, that the entire program is...
How did he create the atmosphere, though?
Well, if he's been there...
He didn't create the atmosphere that you can't tell anybody anything, and you'll lose your job or you get killed or whatever there's too much money at stake. He was a great coach.
Right.
He was a shitty person, excuse my French, but he was a great coach. He obviously was doing the right thing by the leagues that played under him, by the players that played under him. He didn't create that atmosphere. His higher-ups created that atmosphere.
Okay, that might be true, but they're saying the entire organization played a responsibility.
Okay, but that organization is gone. They're either dead or they're fired. They're not there no more. So what the hell are you punishing the current and the previous students for?
By changing the atmosphere in that school. No.
Changing what atmosphere? If you're going to molest people and you're a freaking perverted child molester, then that's what the hell you are. This is not going to stop people from molesting people, okay? So even if it stops people from not telling on the molesters, it's still not going to stop the molesting, morons.
Well, I don't think that they're trying to do that.
No, they are.
I think they're trying to change the culture of collegiate sports.
Yeah, but
where
you can't.
If you listen to the press conference today, that's exactly what was said today. That we can't have this culture in the school where football above all.
But it will always be football. I don't care what school you're in. If your school has a good football team, it will be football. Because every dead president.
Yeah,
brings in the
dead president.
I hear you.
Dead president. And that's all anybody cares about, including the NCAA, because if it wasn't for money, their asses wouldn't have jobs.
Right. Go ahead, JC. What was your question? I think you bring up a valid point. I'm only devil's advocate.
I can see Mary's point about why punish students. But when you really, really look at it, Mary, what they did today isn't going to financially make or break those students. Their records are still in somebody's record book somewhere. They might have stripped Joe Paterno of that record. But, I mean, I don't see a lot of guys in the NFL that made it from there. They still went on with their careers. I mean, you can't go back in time and
yeah, that's true. That's
and
right.
Sue them for
right.
that.
You're absolutely right. Anybody that's obtained a career or has had some sort of success based upon what happened at Penn State, they still have that. That's not going to affect them now since it's been years after. But you know what? There are guys who just got out of that wouldn't count either. Justin, let me ask you this: is there any part of these sanctions that you believe were too harsh at all, or do you believe that there wasn't enough done? Because you know how some people were calling, like they use this term, the death penalty, which is you completely stop the football program for 1 year. They can't participate in anything. No program, shut it down for 1 year, sometimes two. Like SMU did in Texas, they shut it down. So do you believe that these were severe? Do you think there were things that shouldn't have been done, or do you think that more should have been done?
Well, I think that Penn State should have took the death penalty, first of all, because they take all this mess, and now they're getting all this criticism over here for taking it. Well, I don't know why they didn't take the death penalty, take 1 year to no football, and then go on with life without taking a four-year bowl thing. You know, now you may be losing. You know, I don't know. They should have took the death penalty in my mind.
Yeah,
because if you can't get to the big games, who the hell wants to play?
That's my point. And it's 4 years. The 4 years, no bowl games. So all new recruits for the next 4 years. Who's going to want to play for Penn State in 4 years when you
they
never
should
get
have, and if they wanted to, you know, you must shut
maybe
the damn school down.
Maybe those who went to Penn State specifically for the football ought to choose another major.
Well, they may have to. But see, this is the whole thing where I said the culture is going to change. They really wanted to hurt Penn State bad for this.
But that's fine, but don't hurt the students. The students didn't do anything.
Well, they
and
did,
that's what they're doing.
Well, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about the idea that they told kids who now play, who currently play, are going to be coming back, let's say sophomore, maybe even red shirt seniors, you know, red shirt freshmen, whatever it is. You know, they go in there, you know, they're going to be playing next year, and they go, you know what, you guys aren't going to be have an opportunity to play in a bowl game. But you know what, we'll give you this caveat. If you either can play here and just play for Penn State and finish out your year playing at Penn State, or you could just transfer, no restriction. Whatever school
yeah,
wants you.
Yeah, that's fine, but the school has to take you, and they have to have a spot for you on their team.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll take you. But remember, there are some kids on the Penn State team who are third string. Some are even fourth string. Now those guys, with the big guys who can play, who have scouts looking at them at other schools, they can go, and some of these third-string guys can at least play, even though they won't make it to a bowl game. They can go out there and play. They'll probably get their asses kicked, but they can go out there and play the game.
Yeah,
but you know what also, Mary? You know what also, Mary?
What?
Hold on. Well, what I'm going to say is even if they played this year or they played years where they just couldn't go to the bowl game, scouts are still going to look at the guys that are good.
This is true.
They're still going to eventually get looked at.
But you know what? There's also – hold on. There's also a stigma that comes with that now because Penn State, with the record that they're going to have, the team they're going to have, and with the decimation, with all of these sanctions on them, and I hate to use the word decimation because, you know, what happened to them isn't a decimation. It's a complete, you know, beatdown of their program. There are going to be people who are going to be afraid to recruit a guy from Penn State because it doesn't look good now. It doesn't when somebody's recruited from Penn State, it's not going to be looked on like it used to be when you used to come out of USC, used to come out of, you know, LSU, come out of Ohio State,
or
you
when
know,
you used to come out of Penn State.
Yeah, now it's going to be, you know, a Penn State draft. It's going to be like, you know, and coming, you know, like they pick, you know, Jaqueline Johnson from Penn State. Everybody's going, boo, boo. People are going to be, and you know football fans at the draft, child molesters. That's what they're going to be doing.
Chester the molester.
That's what they're going to be screaming. Everybody is going to be, and now I know that's bad. I'm not saying it's good for that to happen. But, Justin, you get my point. Penn State's got, you know, they've got a worse than a black eye here. They've got a bloody nose on
it. Man, they, Penn State screwed up, man. You know, they're done. Penn State's done. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know, but it's something that I find interesting about this because people, the pundits out there are saying this will affect the team for 10 years, like it, you know, like it did SMU in Texas. You know, there were some other teams like Michigan. Michigan had to go through this. After their pay for play scandal that happened to them. Now I'll be honest with you. I would have never ever remembered the Michigan State debacle had not somebody brought it up. Because Michigan State, you know, they are bowl contenders. They're championship contenders now. You know, when they play basketball, football, I mean, they are contenders. So I would have never ever guessed that these guys had. But Penn State. And this scandal, I'm sorry, you can have a pay-for-play scandal. You can have a point shaving scandal in your school. But nothing is going to top this and what happened to Penn State. I can guarantee you that within the next 3 years, if Penn State does not fully recover from this and the revenue at that school, not just in what they make as far as, you know, people showing up at games, but
nobody's going to even want to attend this. Nobody will be applying to go to Penn State. Nobody. I don't care what your major is. You're not going to go because you're not going to want to be tied into that.
Yeah,
then you don't know whether they're going to stay open or not because they're about to go bankrupt.
Yeah, it really, I don't know. Like I said, again, please, if you get a chance, look up my July 12th Penn State monologue. I said this then, and I'll say it again. That school is really, I think, and Justin literally is responsible for that monologue because I think he said it best, is that you got to just close the doors.
Yeah.
Because the revenue that's going to be lost, and the fact that this is a state school, so you know they get taxpayer funded. That for them, the most likely and fiscal thing to do as a school, especially with a $60 million sanction, I think you just got to close the doors. You got to cut your losses.
I think the NCAA is responsible for helping pay some of that money because they gained off of those wins. They gained everybody that gained anything behind.
Right.
At any time that Joe Paterno was coaching or was employed at that school,
especially at a bowl game that was televised,
everyone should have to give that money back. Everybody, you don't just punish one. If you want to punish Joe Paterno, you want to punish everybody else involved, all the higher ups and everybody else. You want to punish, and then you want to punish the students. Well, you better punish your own pockets, and I'm sure that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I think Marion, and as much as I'm playing devil's advocate here, I'll tell you why I think you're right. Because the bottom line is that if Joe Paterno's record is going to be diminished in the way that it was by vacating all of his wins, therefore, in essence, what you're trying to do is you're trying to wipe the slate clean, in essence. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's symbolic in a lot of ways. So we are symbolically removing all the wins. We're vacating all those wins by Joe Paterno.
You're taking back all the trophies. You're taking all back. So now you need to give back all the money.
Everything. In essence, if there are people who weren't responsible who have to be held responsible, then everybody has to be held responsible. In NCAA, if they profited from those bowl games, if they were, you know, if it was a revenue share, that was so huge.
Anybody, Coca-Cola, Nathan's Hot Dogs,
yeah.
French fries, peanut, beer company, everybody. No, I'm dead serious because I really think that it's effed up that they're making these students pay for it. It's so unfair. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I would be going off. If I was a student at Penn State, there would be no way in holy hell them people would be able to shut me up. Because my college life is done.
Yeah, 4 years for you never ever to go to a bowl game. Like, what's the whole sense of competing if you're not going to go there and reach the best and highest collegiate honor, as far as intercollegiate honor, as far as sports is concerned, to go in there, play your best, get into a bowl game, you know, to reach that professionalism. You may never make it to the NFL, but you were part of this great sort of...
These are kids' lives. I mean, these are the future of our world, of our country. This is their lives. College is a big deal. It's not like you just go to college and you're going to have fun and all, you know, blah. Yeah, that's great.
But you know what?
But college is a big deal. It's a life-changing step. And you're turning around and the NCAA is turning around and punishing all of these people, yet they're not giving anything back. No, I have a problem with that.
I think that's the best way to put it. Justin, any last words?
No, I don't have no words.
Thank you. You don't have no words.
We know.
Yeah, that's our that's our public school system, ladies and gentlemen.
At its best.
At its best. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll debate this further. Because there's some other stuff I get into, some other football news. Brett Favre's coming back to football, folks.
He better not be coming back as no player.
Not necessarly. We'll explain it when we get back.
Is he coming back as a coach? Assistant coach.
He's coming back as a coach. But we'll talk about when we get back.
Who is he going to be coaching? Well, Penn State?
We'll be back at 3:30 Radio. On the radio.
He said, "I am the Joker." But once again, he was still walking into a movie theater that was showing the Batman.
So you're saying that this guy would have done what he had done even if, like, Steel Magnolia was playing
in the theater? He even said, "I'm the Steel Magnolia."
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I don't recognize your name, you're a nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the ball-headed guy, right? That's it.
Right, right.
Okay, so he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
it. Does he dress like the chef? Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies. Policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back 33 minutes after the hour right here on Blog Talk Radio. July the 23rd, 2012. I'm going to go into some audio of Ice-T today, but let me get Mike in Florida's comments about the whole Joe Paterno thing. What's up, Mike?
Well, dude, you know, I'm listening to Mary talk about these poor students or these poor college guys or whatever. You know, the ultimate reason that you go to college to play football is to get an education. They're not there to be a farm system to go to the pros. They're getting a free college education, free room and board, free books, free food. And the NCAA has told these people that if they want to transfer to another school, if they think they have a chance of being a pro,
they can transfer and play immediately. They don't have to sit out a year.
Right, but isn't
so,
it
there's no penalty on these players at all.
No, there is penalties on the players because then they have to change
They can play for another school.
Yeah, but
they can still play here and get a free education.
Okay, and I understand that. I understand that they have options. It's not like their lives are over or their college lives are over. I'm not saying that. But why?
Well, you did say that.
No, I
think you said those exact words that their college lives were over.
Yeah, their college lives are over because they have to. If they stay in Penn State, why should they have to uproot themselves from Penn State and go somewhere else? Then they have to move. I don't care who's paying for the expenses. Why should they have to do that? Because
so if they're going to move from one dorm to another. Come on, it's not like they have to actually move.
No, but why should they have to pay any penalties?
Well, hey, they're lucky they didn't shut the whole damn program down like they did at SMU, which they should have done. They should have death penalty that program for 10 years, as far as I'm concerned.
So you,
the entire program was complicit in the molestation of children.
But
they shut SMU down for recruiting violations. You're going to tell me that boys getting sodomized in the shower and having the entire administration cover it up isn't worth the death penalty? It's ridiculous.
Not to the students, it's not. It's not fair.
You know
them.
What?
They,
the students, the students at SMU weren't involved in the recruiting violations, not all of them, and they lost their program. Tough shit.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, well, I understand.
Didn't I send you a nice message on Facebook today?
You did, and to those players, I say tough shit, sorry about your luck. You were involved in a corrupt program.
Yeah, I understand you. Again, I understand exactly where Mary's coming from here, because in some ways these students do feel like they're paying a penalty as well. They didn't know that they chose a program this corrupt. You know what I mean? It's sort of like it's not the RICO statute in this particular regard. They didn't get inside of a car, drive to a 7-Eleven and hold it up and then continue to drive with the culprits.
Well, but Auburn got popped a few years ago and couldn't go to bowl games.
Who's that? Say again?
Auburn got popped for some stuff a few years ago and couldn't go to bowl games for a couple of years. It happens all the time.
Yeah, how do you think that this affects the students, excuse me, because I believe that the students will look at this and they'll go, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of Penn State. I got to go somewhere else. But there are going to be some guys who can't transfer.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to school to actually go to school, like is the whole purpose of the football scholarship,
right,
then I think you get lucky enough to play. It's not going to affect your chances because people are still going to watch you. You know, you said that, they're not going to draft guys from Penn State. Dude, NFL would draft a rapist if he could carry the ball. Matter of fact, they drafted Lawrence Phillips, and he beat the crap out of his girlfriend in front of people.
Yeah, this is true.
So the NFL doesn't care about the school these guys come from or anything they did. I mean, Tampa Bay drafted LeGarrette Blount, who's probably the worst thug ever to come out of college, and he's fine.
LeGarrette Blount was the guy who was it that Oregon game?
Yeah, he sucker punched the guy and broke his face.
That's right.
For no reason. And
that's
Tampa
right.
gave him a shot, so they don't care.
Yeah, I do remember that. What was that other player? Clements?
Oh gosh, dude! If we're gonna start talking
Clements.
About criminals
certain,
in the NFL,
I'm almost
know.
Certain Marcus Clements even got. Look at Marcus Vick.
Dude, they don't call up the National Felon League for no reason.
Anyway,
I've never heard that term. Okay, so Mike, I understand where you're coming. Okay, I will agree to disagree. But on my point that if the NCAA
made money
off of
yeah.
all of these games and all of these kids and all of this staff at Penn State,
at least for the six bowl games.
Yeah.
And they know they made money. Are they going to give that money back?
Did those kids get their free college education?
Yeah, they did.
At a major school, which is not cheap. I mean, Penn State is a very expensive college.
Okay, but I don't care if it's a very expensive college. I don't care if those kids got a free education. Those kids earned those scholarships. Okay.
They got their free college education. That's the point of the scholarship.
No. Those kids earned those scholarships, though. They had to work for those scholarships. Okay.
Yeah. And they were rewarded with the free education.
Knock, knock. It's not like somebody just said, knock, knock, here's a scholarship, go to Penn State.
Taking their education away.
I'm not saying that they
are taking their education.
They can't
play in a bowl game.
Who
bloody cares?
But if they want to wipe everything clean, basically that's what they want to do for the entire time.
So basically these guys don't get to brag in a bar that, oh, I was on a winning Penn State football team. Can they show them their diploma?
Mike, listen, you're making this, I'm not talking about the kids anymore, I'm not talking about any of that. What I'm saying to you is if the NCAA is putting these sanctions on this school for the acts of evil and ill will, then anything that they gained from in the time that they're taking away, shouldn't they have to give that back? Isn't that not fair? If it's fair to everybody else, Tough Nookie said to the freaking college kids, oh, well, they can still sit in a bar and brag, and then these people at the NCAA can still live in their multi-million and billion-dollar homes and drive whatever cars they want to drive based off of the money that they earned when their people, when they were making money off of Penn State and the people at Penn State were molesting kids or holding back information.
NCAA is based on exploitation of stupid people. So they don't care. I mean, how many of those guys actually graduate from school? You know, how many of these kids have their lives ruined by playing college football? If you think the NCAA has morals, then you're way off. It's a money-making operation.
By no way am I saying I think that they have morals. What I'm saying is, if you're going to put these sanctions on people and you're going to make people pay for things and inconvenience their lives because of the mistakes of, you know, two hands full or three hands full of men and other staff members at Penn State, don't you think that you should give back that money that you got? Or you reap the benefits of those wins. And they reap the benefits of those wins, but now you're going to wipe those wins gone. It's gone forever. Gone. I know people can still talk about it, but it's not on paper anymore.
But they still got
the green paper that they made off of that.
As long as those students NCAA to give back whatever money they might have reaped from Penn State? It's ridiculous. No offense.
The students
aren't hurt at all. No student is going to be hurt from this because they're not going to lose their scholarship. They still get to stay in school, which is the reason they're there in the first place.
Okay, but they
and nobody's hurt.
Okay, Let me say this. Okay, I understand that you're saying no kids are going to be hurt. They're not going to lose their college. They're not going to lose their scholarship. They can go anywhere they want. But what about the time and the manpower and all that other, their parents are gonna have to get involved. They're gonna have to go apply to other schools. Other schools are gonna take them. They're not gonna take them. They have to move. People have to take off of work.
Why don't they just stay at Penn State?
Would you stay at Penn State?
Why not? I didn't do anything wrong. Stay at Penn State and get your free education.
But if you're playing football, you don't want to stay at Penn State because you cannot. You're not gonna want to play. What is the morale there now?
Well, let's see. Would you want to have the glorious life of a college football player and put up a little bit of embarrassment? Of course you would. You guys don't give a shit. Being a college football player in a major program is a good gig, no matter where you play.
major program when you can't go into any of the major games?
Well, Vanderbilt hasn't been in a bowl game in 20 years. People still
but
play football at Vanderbilt.
That's because they
it's not a big deal. I don't feel sorry for them.
They're going to get a try. Listen, Mary, they may get a try and they may make it all the way to the gate. They just can't play.
Yeah, I understand exactly everybody's point. Let
me make a quick point. I understand, I agree with Mary on that one. I think that whatever monies that those kids are going to get awarded, those that were raped by. Molested by Sandusky. I think Penn State as well as NCAA should contribute to it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Okay, that's fine. But the NCAA should give back their money and give it to those.
I'm going to concede this. Here's exactly what I'm pointing to. Maybe not for all those regular season games, even the televised stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. The bowl games is the big money. That's the money game in NCAA. Bowl games are where they make a bulk of their money, aside from what they make for the rest of the year. But those bowl games, those are serious games. They're the Super Bowls of college football, especially the national championship.
And college football is just as big as the NFL.
Sure. It's very lucrative. But here's what I'm saying is that if you're going to vacate the six bowl games that Penn State Nittany Lions went to and appeared in and won, if you're going to vacate those as if they didn't exist, then let's take everything off the board as far as, look, any revenue accrued during those bowl games where the Lions played, let's take that money and give that back.
And that's for everyone included.
Because in essence, we're saying, because remember, you can say all day, hey, they didn't win these bowl games, but the advertisers are going to say, well, they may not have won them, but I damn sure paid for them. You know what I mean?
But then you're going to hurt the other programs that benefit from that money. You know, college football team makes a huge amount of money, but the football program supports all the other ancillary sports that don't make any money.
That's right. Exactly. It is
like
a revenue.
Field hockey and men's baseball and wrestling and track and field. So,
you're
going to penalize wrestlers because of this?
I understand. What you're saying is that bottom line is like the revenue share in that regard is going to definitely affect people that have completely nothing to do with what went on. This was the football program, so that's going to make it difficult to do. So, that's, I think, the essence of what Mary's question is that, look, everybody's going to be held responsible. Then nobody should be able to benefit from what is that happened.
And people that had no responsibility for this, none whatsoever. These people had nothing to do with any of it. And
here's the thing: if that had been a less major program doing this, NCAA would have canceled their football team for 3 or 4 years. But Penn State, because they're a big school and big money, NCAA still let them play regular season football, and that's bogus. They should have shut the whole program down.
Play because they can't get to the big game. What's the point?
So, Mike.
Well, they're lucky they're going to have 10 games to play. They should have shut the whole damn thing down.
I was about to ask, Mike. So you believe just shut it down? You believe what? Give them the death penalty for a couple of years?
I don't think they should. 5 years.
Whoa. Shut it down.
How many
did SMU get? For recruiting
SMU.
Violations, two?
SMU, I think they got more than two.
So they should have been five. I'd have gone lifetime ban, tell you the truth. Forever.
Yeah,
15
years.
Yeah, that's what Justin said. How much time did you say?
I said 15 years.
I agree with you. Shut them down.
Why would you do
shut the whole football program down. I don't even have one.
Yep. Shut it down.
Yeah, I think it's too marred in this controversy for them to even go out there and play even regular season games. It's absolutely. I understand. Mike
no,
is
they
saying
should
that
have gotten rid of. All, they got rid of all the staff. They should have replanted. They should have went at this. What happened was a horrific thing. It was horrific. We all know that. Okay. But they could have went at this in a different way. They could have taken another avenue. They didn't have to necessarily do this. They could have pay, you know, they could have paid their retributions.
Right.
And still had a successful school with a successful program, minus all the evilness that was there before. You replace that with good, you know what
but
I mean?
But this is
I
why
just,
I say this
I don't
makes
get
it.
It.
This is why I think that Mike and Justin make this point, is that, look, if you really, really want to clean up shop and show as an NCAA that you mean business, give them the death penalty for a certain number of years. I won't give you a number.
You mean
yet.
Business, but still,
no.
You reaped.
No,
from
I understand.
What
no, that's what I'm saying. Shut down the program for a couple of years. Let them refocus as a group, as a school. Refocus. They will, you know, they'll hurt significantly. This is going to cost them a lot of money. The program will be down. They can't recruit because they've got no team. They close the doors. And then, you know what? After a couple of years, the stink of all of this, it's finally gone away, and then they come back and they rebuild. But give people, especially the victims and the response of the community, just as a whole, get rid of
the
program.
Yeah, but could they
from,
survive without the program? I mean, are they going to be able to survive?
Oh, yeah.
Other colleges.
Sure.
College do, but that football team was the bread and butter
but
of
SMU,
that school.
SMU survived. Michigan State survived. These schools dealt with it. They survived. And they came
and
back. And
ultimately,
came.
It's a
well, what
school.
Happened at the,
it's not a football program. It's a school.
Yeah, exactly. SMU was recruiting. This is child molestation.
Yeah,
that's
which is worse.
That's why we're saying that it should be the ultimate death penalty for a couple of years. Again, I won't sit up here and cite how many it should have been. But I'll admit, Justin may be a little extreme with 15, but I'd cut it down to a third and say 5 years. You got to get the stink of this thing off your school and a reputation. You know, let a good 4 years, students have already gone through that school and moved on and start anew, come in the sixth year and get your act together and come back in and say, you know, look, we paid our price, we paid our penalty, and keep it moving. And let's start to build this back up again, start recruiting and try to build this as a prominent football team. It'll always be a part of our history. But they've got to show a real sense of, we take this seriously. We're shutting down the program until we prioritize what it is that we do. So, I mean, that in essence is the way I look at it. I think the guys have a valid point, as I do to you, Mary. I believe you have a valid point with if the NCAA profited off those games in any particular way, I kind of agree. You can't say that the games didn't happen and then still take the money off of it. Everybody give the money back and act like it didn't happen. Nobody benefits. That's all I'm saying. All right, let me play this Ice Cube clip real quick. Because
Ice Cube clip.
I'm an Ice T clip. Because this is a stunning thing coming from a rapper. Finally, somebody with some guts. And the audio will not play now. I have no luck. Why do I have no luck? This just sucks. Come on. Come on. This is just so awful. I want to play this clip.
What do you do? Okay, hold on.
I press play and it won't play.
It's
not going
to
play.
It's starting to play.
No, it's not playing. It's not going to play. Now I have
hit
to
refresh.
Refresh it. I got to play a stupid commercial in the beginning in order for it to refresh. Okay. So Ice-T was apparently overseas somewhere. They don't tell you what country he's in, but you can tell by the accent it's one of those, you know, those blokes in England, apparently. The guy looks like Martin Bashir, the guy he's doing the interview with.
Oh, gosh.
And, of course, you know, everybody in Europe is talking about the Colorado shooting and talking about gun control. Bodies haven't even been buried anywhere, and everybody's talking about gun control. And Ice-T, of all people, is being asked about it, especially with a guy who's gone on his resume. He's got a song like Cop Killer. Plays a cop.
Yeah, but
television.
We all know that he's not like that.
Well, bottom line is that he calls himself one of the liberal elites. So when he gave this interview and he responded to a question that was given, I was quite stunned at how he responded. Pretty much saying that he's not giving up his gun until everybody else does. But then he just makes a startling, startling claim that made me go, is Ice-T a conservative?
I don't think he's a liberal.
Yes,
I've heard, no, I understand that.
Oh,
you're
here it
saying
is. Here it is.
He
here it is. Here it is. Okay.
Makes I mean, if you were, if there were guns here, would you be want to be the only person without one?
Okay, hold on. Here it is. I'm gonna.
I'd give up my gun when everybody else does.
I mean,
doesn't that make sense?
Well,
doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you were, if there were guns here, would you be want to be the only person without one?
So do you carry guns?
Not
routinely. I mean, you have a gun at home.
Yeah, it's legal in the United States. It's part of our Constitution. You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny. Not to hunt, but hunt. It's to protect yourself from the police.
And do you see any link between that and these sorts of incidents?
No. Nah, not really. You know what I'm saying? If somebody wants to kill people, you know, they don't need a gun to do it.
Makes it easier, though, doesn't it?
Not really. You can use you can strap explosives on your body. They do that all the time.
So when there's the inevitable backlash of the anti-gun lobby as a result of this incident, as it always is.
Well, that's not going to change anything in the United States. No. The United States is based on guns, you know. Like KRS says, you'll never have justice on stolen land. So it's not going to change.
And, of course, he had to make that last KRS-One reference. But he said that guns are the last... What was the term he used?
Last defense against tyranny.
Yeah, last defense against tyranny. That's straight out of the Constitution, goddammit! Can you believe Ice-T? What is he bugging?
I mean, I've watched him. I've watched his show. I've watched him talk. I've watched his reality show. I've watched interviews with him. I've listened to him talk. Actually, I just listened to a great interview that like PGC did with him, because he came out with this movie, or this movie is coming out.
Right, it's already out.
And I want to see it because he did a great interview. And I don't feel. I mean, he may say he's a liberal, but I don't think he's a liberal. I think he's a conservative. His opinions, the way he speaks, I mean, the way he answers, no. I don't think he's a liberal.
I was just a little stunned that he would say that. But, you know, he brings an argument to this guy that says that, you know, don't we think in instances like this, you know, that there's going to be, and he said, you know, he's saying without the guns there'd be no people killing themselves. This guy lives in Europe, and he acts like there are not people out there strapping bombs to themselves, killing way more people in one sitting than this guy did. And that's not to, you know, to give James Holmes a pass, but why do people keep acting like that? A great quote I heard today, and I think it's the best quote ever, if you ever want to give an argument about guns and these sort of quote-unquote gun law people. Blaming guns for what happened in Colorado is like blaming the fork for obesity.
Okay, but didn't, and you know, Obama and them may come up with that soon. That may be, you know, one of their, they may ban forks soon. I don't know. You know, you've got to have some shit.
I've yet to see anybody put a sign in their front yard that says this is a gun-free home.
Exactly. But this, it's the same thing that every time these things, these tragedies happen, every time there's a shooting, you know, when the Virginia Tech thing happened,
right.
What happened? Who got involved? What was the one of the first topics that they talked about? Gun control. Every time they spew this rhetoric all the time. It's never going to change. Well, I don't know, under this administration, who knows what could happen? He could, you know, do some executive order and ban all weapons. Or who knows? He does whatever he wants. But. I really honestly don't think it's going to change.
What was your point, Mike?
You just, sometimes people are going to flip out and do evil stuff, and that's the price you pay for living in a free society. You know, people have said you should have psychological testing to buy a gun. Well, no, not at all, because first of all, you don't want the government involved with your psychiatrist. And secondly, just because you may be depressed at one point in your life doesn't mean you should be barred from ever exercising your constitutional rights again. Because you know, once some liberal psychiatrist says you're depressed, you're never going to be undepressed.
Right.
You'll be screwed forever.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think we'll end it there, folks. That's our show for tonight. There will be more fallout from Penn State. You can expect it this week.
It's going to be a great meeting.
Oh, it's going to be insane. I promise you. If they can just stop talking about it.
They won't. This is going on for at least another week. The rest of this week and next week. And then next week.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for joining us as usual this Monday. See you tomorrow on Tuesday, the 24th. First on the radio with W.